Well, last night, Pastor Matthew spoke to you from the book of Matthew. Today, Elder John is going to talk to you from the book of John. this is just a coincidence. Actually, a few weeks ago, we were talking about who was going to do the message on Christmas Eve and who was going to do it on Christmas morning. And Matt and I both said, well, he would do Christmas Eve and I would do Christmas morning. And by coincidence, he wanted to talk out of Matthew. And I had been thinking about this part from the book of John actually for some time. And I think what made me think of it is I'd never heard a message from the Gospel of John. And if you wanted to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be in the Gospel of John in the very first chapter. And we're just going to do the very first few verses. But I thought, I never really heard a Christmas message about the Word becoming flesh. We oftentimes talk about all of the salvation that came from Jesus in his death and resurrection. We talk about the babe and the manger and the wise man and all of this other stuff. And that's all great stuff. That's what Christmas is about. But I wanted to talk to you about something a little different today. I wanted to talk about how special we are. When I say we, I'm talking about mankind in general, all of us, people. Why we are special and what makes us special. Because when I think about this this Gospel of John and the Word becoming flesh, I have one of those minds that makes me want to ask, why? Why bother? Well, the simple answer or the short answer is for our salvation. That was just an incredible gift from God. But I still want to know, why bother? What makes us special that we deserve salvation? We didn't do anything to earn it. In fact, we've done everything to be thrown into the fire. So there's got to be something there that gives us a clue. And so as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, maybe we were just worthy because of who we are and the way we were created. By coincidence, a couple of weeks ago, somebody from the church here came to me, and I think he had been approached by a couple of different charities, and he wanted my opinion on them. And I said, well, I gave him my opinion. It doesn't really matter what they were, but I told him, Kathy and I give to some charities. We give a lot to the church. Well, we give, one of the charities that we give to is called the Smile Train. And that's for the children in third world countries that are born with the facial deformities. And because of that deformity, they are ostracized from their community. They are doomed to just a terrible, terrible life. And for $250, we can give them a smile. And it's a life-changing operation for only just a few dollars. The medical people do all the work. They volunteer everything. So I thought, you know what? That's a worthy cause. That's a life-changing thing that we can do for someone. And that's exactly what Christ did for us. It's a life-changing, an everlasting life-changing gift that we got from Christ. And so I thought that was, maybe I could work on that a little bit. So in my Bible, and I'm reading from an older NIV, if some of you have got a different translation, it may sound just a little bit different. But the Gospel of John, I want to read just the first few phrases here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That sounds kind of confusing until you understand the concept of the Trinity. Jesus Christ is God. God is God. The Holy Spirit is God. When you think back to the very first verses of the very first part of the Bible in Genesis, where God created, and I'll paraphrase, everything, the Holy Spirit hovered above the face of the waters. That's the third person in the Trinity. And all of this stuff starts to make sense because later on I read in Genesis that God created us in His image. So I wondered about that. And I wondered, Well, why do I wonder? I wonder because one of the things, one of the attributes that God gave to us is the capacity to wonder. The capacity to be self-aware, to reason, to have some first cause, if you will, moral attributes, some first cause way to behave, some first cause love, peace, and joy, which really is the very essence of God and the Trinity. So we're created in the image of God. That makes us incredibly special, special above everything else that He took the time to make. And He only made us for His glory. He didn't need us. If He made the entire world that we know it today without us, it would have been a great thing, the most incredible masterpiece ever. But He wanted more. Because in the Trinity, there was this moral attributes. There was this love. There was this desire to create something really special, to give glory to God. And that's where we come in. Unlike all the other animals that are out there, we have the ability to be aware and to wonder and to love and to laugh and to cry. We have the self-awareness that something, we're here for something bigger than just to be here. We have this thing that sets us apart from farm animals, if you will, who really don't even know that one day they're going to be bacon, beefsteaks, and drumsticks. They don't care because they don't know. They have no self-awareness. But we do. We wonder, why are we here? Where do we go when we die? Well, of course, we know where we go because we're special. And the extra special people are those that have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That's you guys here today. I'm going to read the next verse in this. It says, through Him, God, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. I wondered about that too. What is the light? It can't be the sun, because the sun didn't show up until the fourth day of creation. Maybe it has something to do with Jesus. He says He is the way, the truth, and the life. God says He is the light of men. You don't have Jesus, you don't have any light. You're in a dark place. You're going to be in a dark place at some point if you don't learn to accept Jesus. But it's the light that banishes the darkness. It's the light that overcomes the sin. It's the light that overcomes death. I'm talking about the eternal death. So all of those things together kind of started to make sense to me. And then we get into this part where, continuing on in the scripture, we go through this part where this is a whole new concept. So this guy shows up on the scene, yet another John the Baptist. He shows up on the scene, and there's this wild-looking hairy guy that shows up out of the desert. And he starts talking about this light and this Lamb of God. And this is all new stuff to the people that are hearing this. And of course, he's talking to the Jews at the time. This is all new stuff. This is really weird stuff, because for 400 years, God didn't talk to these people. Throughout the Old Testament, God talked with people. He talked individually to Noah and Abraham. And a number of other people. And he talked to the prophets, and the prophets spoke his words to the people. But for 400 years, he didn't say anything. And I got to wondering about that. trying to get my head around the idea of 400 years without God talking to me. And I thought, you know, if one of us is unemployed for 4 months, that's really a terrible thing for us. We really wonder what's going to happen to us. If the power goes out in our house for 4 hours, we start to get frustrated about that. Think, oh my gosh, I can't watch my favorite TV show. If for 4 minutes we don't have cell service, oh my gosh. How am I ever going to know, what my BFF had for lunch today? And you start looking to the east to see if he's coming on the clouds because you know that it's the end of the world. So 400 years is just an incredibly long time. But then this guy shows up, John the Baptist, and he starts talking about this light and this life. And I want to read this to you. In verse 6, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Again, why? Because we're special. You know, we're special, but we're different. And this is another aspect of the Trinity. There are three persons, but one God. There is distinct differences there, but there's unity. And each one of us is created in the image of God. And we're all different, but yet we're the same. Some of us can walk around without a cane. Some of us walk with a limp. Some of us can't walk at all. Some of us need to wear glasses. Some of us are relatively attractive and nice people. Others are Seahawks fans. But I'm glad Monty's not here. But, you know, we're really all the same. And it's that image and likeness that's what makes us special. Regardless of what we look like on the outside, regardless of how healthy or unhealthy we are, it's those inner qualities, the ability to love, to share, to serve, to care, to wonder. Those things that make us special to God. So that's why the light was coming into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Can you imagine that? Going into your own home, if you will, and your family not knowing you and not recognizing you. Coming into your own church and not being recognized as a leader or a member or a part of that church. The Jews had an entirely different expectation of a Messiah. And they just didn't give a clue and didn't recognize him. But the good news is, in verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Many of us have got children. Some of us have got grandchildren. All of us have parents. We inherited something from our parents, some type of a genetic characteristic, or some type of material goods or worldly goods. Excuse me. I know when my mother died, she died sometime after my father died. My brothers and I inherited, if you will, their home. Of course, we sold it because nobody needed it. And we divided up the assets, but we got something. What kind of an inheritance do you wonder you might get as a child of God? Think about that. This is the being that owns everything, created everything, gave us the opportunity for eternal life. Makes you wonder about that inheritance and how great it's going to be. And just know that should give you overwhelming peace and joy. And it caused you to want to just fall to your knees and worship and say, thank you. And that's why we have church, to give us an opportunity to come to church and say, thank you. I'm going to ask the ushers, if they would, to get ready to do the communion. And I'm going to finish up here, and then I'm going to go right into a prayer for communion and for offering. So while they're getting that stuff out, and if you would, when you take the little cup of juice and the cracker, don't take it right away. Just hold it for a minute until we get a chance to pray, and we'll take it all at the same time. In verse 14, we read that the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus Christ is God. And He became flesh. He became flesh to walk among us and to try to make us understand peace and joy and love and serving one another. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As we're talking about these things, I want to kind of emphasize again this aspect of the Trinity that came, that caused us to give us this image and likeness of God, and that kind of that came together for us. In that the will of God, I guess one way to describe the Trinity is the will of God empowers God to create, Jesus to create. And the Spirit of God is what fills us with peace, joy, and love. And the ability to wonder and to think, to worship, to love, and to share. So with all of those things that I've been talking about, I'm going to do a prayer now, and I'm going to ask you folks, go ahead and pass out the elements if you would, guys. Just go ahead. Pass out the elements for communion, if you would, please. And take it and hold that for a minute. And when everybody's got it, we're going to do a prayer. And I want you to really think about why you're so special. And why we really don't deserve what we got in the gift of Jesus Christ. But never forget how special you are. And how much more special people become when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When you understand that through His death and resurrection, and our understanding and acceptance of that, overcoming death and evil and sin, we get such an incredible inheritance in eternal life. And while we're here, we get the opportunity to continue to serve God and to serve one another. After we do communion, the usher is going to pass the bags around for offering. This isn't a beg for dollars thing at all. But this was the time to think about what He did for you when you take the communion elements. But it's also a time to think about the incredible gift that He gave to us. And whatever you are able to give or not even to give this Sunday, it doesn't make any difference to me. To think about what you do give throughout the year, whether it's putting something in the bag or whether it's having money electronically deducted from your account to go to the church or to different charities or the time that you invest to further the kingdom of God. Ask God to bless those things because we are all about, we Christians are all about expanding and furthering the kingdom of God. And that can't happen without the Holy Spirit. So we would ask for blessings for our tithes and our offerings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, happy birthday. God, we love you so much. We are so thankful for all that you have done for us. From the very moment you decided that we were going to become people, from the time that each of us was born and given us the opportunity to come to know you, to serve you, Father, we are so thankful for that. We are especially thankful for the death that you endured for us, and yet the resurrection from the dead, where you overcame that and showed us that there is more to this life than just being here walking on the earth. And Father, for our gifts back to you, we ask for a blessing on each and every one of those. We ask for a blessing on our time that we use to further your kingdom here. Father, we give thanks for all of these things. In your Son's name, amen.